And you know, Ecclesiastes is a book that Solomon wrote in his later years after he experienced a number of things. 3,000 Proverbs, I believe he wrote. A number of the Psalms as well. And then Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is life under the sun, meaning what life would be on earth. Is that what that term means? And a preacher, of course, tried to set out to put many proverbs in order so he could educate the people on common things, general principles in life. And we'll see some of those tonight. Wisdom is needed in every area of life and our decision making. So let's look at chapter 7 and starting in verse 15 tonight. I've just about experienced it all. That's what this verse means. Okay. Verse 15, Ecclesiastes 7. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. Vanity means the about the time you think you get a hold of something in life, it just vaporizes, you know. It's like trying to grab mist. James says our life is like that. It's a vapor that appears for a little while and vanisheth away. Maria likes gray tea. And so she puts the steamer on, you know, what do you call it, thing, the kettle. And you know it's ready when it makes that noise and the steam comes out, you know. And every time I see that steam going by, I think of our life is just that fast. You turn it off, the steam dies down, and then it's over. Then we're standing before the Lord. So best for us is yet to come, the believers, though. But he says here in verse 15, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. That doesn't seem right, does it? Verse 16, be not righteous over much. This is one has been misinterpreted a number of different times. But we'll look at it. Be not righteous over much. Neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked. Neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? And then verse 18. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also, take no heed upon all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I prove by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. I find more bitter than death a woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Who pleaseth God shall escape her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, I have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman amongst all those have I not found. Remember, he wrote Proverbs 31 as well. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Chapter 8, verse 1. Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give us your wisdom tonight. You promised to do so. we need to draw from your life all the time to the Lord to walk in a way that's well-pleasing to you in a sensible, biblical, wise way. With all the voices today, may we draw from your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. When Solomon was asked what one thing he wanted above all things, he chose wisdom from God, and it pleased the Lord that he had asked for this, 1 Kings 3, 1 through 12. God is pleased when we ask for wisdom and promises to grant it, James 1, 5, and Proverbs 2, 6 through 8. Let's look at the Proverbs passage, just one book back, Proverbs 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. A proverb a day keeps the ignorance away. we'll see. Proverbs 2, verses 6 through 8. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler, a small shield, to them that walk uprightly. That's when you're attacked. You can depend upon the Lord's strength there. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. So he's always offering us wisdom and discernment of things. Of course, we need to be ready to listen to receive it. Okay, go back to Ecclesiastes 7, and we'll just make some applications to Solomon's wisdom literature here. Of course, the Lord's the one directing him what to write. Verse 15, a principle, godly people can die young and wicked people can live a longer life. They can live longer. So does that mean I shouldn't try to eat a little... Katie, go over this way a little bit. Gregory, slide over that way, will you, son? All I can see is Kenny's head and Caitlin's hair. You look really nice with that long hair there, Kenny says. She, okay. Believe me, it's an improvement when she moved over. I'm just letting you know. Okay. All right. Back to the Bible. Now, that doesn't seem right, does it? I mean, here you've got a guy like Jim Elliot. How old was he? Bonnie, you remember? 27 or something? 23, 20? I don't know. He dies serving the Lord. And then you've got, you know, some wicked people. Maria's up there working. Katie, you know, some of it at Williamsport Home. They're getting close to 100, and some of them still smoking and cursing and just, you know, nothing's ever right. And what are they eating, you know, must help us live longer? No, not necessarily, but it doesn't seem like that should be the case. Yes or no? Okay, it doesn't seem like that should be the case. Seems like if you live for the Lord, you should be able to live longer. However, you know, when you do die, you are going to live longer. It's called forever. So remember that. How about this general principle of wisdom? It's in Ephesians as well. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So that's a discerning thing. The Lord said that is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Well, what's the promise? That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's a general principle, a general principle of obedience. Your parents say don't go out in the street and run out there and play. And if you disobey your parents and run out in the street and play, you might die. Though you're a Christian, you might die at a very young age. It's a general principle. Doesn't always come out to, does that mean that everyone who's a Christian is going to live into their 90s? So you know that's not the case, right? So these are general principles. He lays that out in Ephesians chapter 6 as well. But notice this, very important. Without a proper view of the sovereignty of God in your life, you might think that how I live my life just doesn't matter. That's dangerous. Doesn't matter what I do then. If God's sovereign, doesn't matter what I do. No, that's just the opposite. If God is sovereign, you can be safe in what you're doing. Terry Anderson, you know what she said to me? Pastor, while you were preaching the word, I found out that the safest place to be is right in the house of God. Why? Because that's what the Word says. It says to do that. So I think somebody who's having challenges in life like that, has such a desire to be in the house of God. Am I going to put a sign up, no, Terry, you can't come in here. You've battled with cancer and everything. Just stay out. How many think we ought to do that? No, I don't think we're going to do that. How many think Terry can make her own decision? Good. That's good. I think so too. Very good. Oh, now here's one that's, I really don't want to give my whole heart to the Lord based on this passage right here, because, you can get in trouble if you give your whole heart to the Lord, right here, wisdom. Listen, this is not what this passage teaches. Let's find out. Verses 16 and 17. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not over much wicked. Don't try to be the most righteous person on one hand, but don't be bragging about being the most wicked person that ever lived either. Verse 17, be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before the time? Okay, the problem with this is that he's starting with himself. And if we don't start with God, we're going to get it wrong. He's starting with himself. The sovereignty of God always starts with God. It always starts with God. If you start with God, you can go through a lot of things in life. If you're starting with yourself, you're probably not going to, pass too many tests. So this reminds us that we've got to start with God. These are reflective action verbs. In other words, they start with the self. They're self-centered. And they teach us to avoid these two extremes, actually. On the one hand, it means this. Don't go around claiming or making yourself out to be so righteous. Don't go around trying to have a reputation for being known as a wise guy or perfect. Listen, let God take care of your reputation, right? And that's what it be. On the other hand, don't go around making yourself out to be the most wicked, unwise, or foolish sinner either. Well, you've done some things, but let me tell you what I've done. We don't need one-upmanship. And the opposite's also true, too. Oh, you witnessed to somebody last week? Well, I witnessed to two people. Well, good for you, You got to be careful. Now, when you... I'm so proud of you, Okay, a little bit of sarcasm here, but this is what it's talking about, reflective. We don't start with ourselves, we start with God. Now, if you witnessed to somebody over the last couple days, that's great. If you didn't have a chance to, just wait. It'll come back around. You'll get a chance. So the point is here, don't try to raise yourself up as being the, most righteous person, one-upmanship. And then again, don't go around professing yourself to be the most wicked person either. What good is that? That's what he's saying. Don't even think that way. That's what these verses, the reflective action verbs, they start with the self, and therefore the self always gets it wrong. We always want to go back to God first. Verse 18, it is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. So you're back down to fearing God. See, that's a proper landing. On our papers here, neither opinion, the most righteous or the most wicked, will help in the building of your godly self or another's godly self. Starting with God and his wisdom will help you avoid both of these extremes. And that's what our flesh wants to fall into. I don't mind having testimonies on Sunday night. We don't have to do the same thing over and over, but I'll say this. If somebody gets up and talks 20 minutes about how good a Christian they are, I kind of doubt it. If you got I'm more along the line of Ryan Anderson. I can't put one of those fish on my car because I drive like a sinner. I got to repent all the time. My attitude stinks sometimes when I'm driving. That's an honest confession. And I'm working on it. God's working on it. So I don't want to hear all your honest confessions, but I'm just saying. How many of you know driving is a challenge to walk in the Spirit? We're going to have a little sign out, drive in the Spirit, you know, when we leave it. It's true. Wow. And by the way, don't ask the Holy Spirit to check you, because He will. He'll let you know, you know. Oh, wow. But thank God for sensitivity, right? We don't want to be picky, but we do want to be sensitive. Amen? There's a difference. All right. Look at verse 19 then. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. So, simply means one wise person is more valuable to their family, church, city, state, and country than 10 governing fools. One wise person, much more valuable. This applies then that a governing wise person can be a great blessing to many. That's right. That's the opposite thing. So if you're governing wisely, you can actually be a great blessing to people. You know, and half the stuff that we do, hardly anybody sees, and that's okay, but God sees it. So I talked to Sandy for about 45 minutes a day, something like that, Sandy Smith. And I just want to say, Gregory, you're doing a good job helping her out. Just wanted to say that. You're doing an excellent job. Biblical wisdom. Biblical wisdom, when we apply these things, what does it do? Verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So biblical wisdom rejects the pursuit of perfectionism. Anybody here got a problem with that? If I can't get it perfect, I'm not going to get involved in it. You know, some people are that way. And therefore, they don't do anything. I'm afraid to fail, therefore, I'm not going to even try. That's perfectionism. Well, I can promise you this. None of us are perfect. So you might as well just jump in there. And what's a passage, 1 Peter 4:11? Everybody ought to have that one down. I'm going to minister with the ability that God gives me, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ. Pray that when you get ready to do something. If God enables you, that's what you use. He will enable you. But you need to realize, who's that start with, by the way? God enable me. Who's that start with? That starts with God. So we don't want to try it on ourselves. But if we ask God to strengthen us and help us, He will. So biblical wisdom now applied rejects perfectionism. Verses 21 and 22. Take also no heed upon the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. This might even be a family member here, close associate with the idea. For oftentimes in thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hath cursed others. What does that mean? Well, biblical wisdom refuses to be paralyzed by the painful criticism of another. Curse means to slight or dishonor somebody's reputation. All criticisms are probably not true, just like all compliments probably aren't true. But you might be able to learn from the piece of it that is true. Right? Who really knows us? God does. And that's where you have to leave it. We speak of other people ourselves in critical or complimentary terms and are not always fully right either in our opinions. Now, I haven't said much about Ruth Ginsburg. I forgot. I played a word. What's her? Batter. So anyways... Hey, you know, very best I kindly could think about it. You know what I thought? I'm glad she's gone. I'm just glad she's gone, because now I hope while she was on her deathbed she turned to Christ. That's another issue. But I'm glad she's off the Supreme Court, because she did more to destroy the ethics of this nation than many a person. And there's nothing to celebrate there for me except that she's gone. That's me personally. You can take your... Now, that's a criticism, right? But however, that means I don't really know all about her, because just like here, the Bible says, I really don't know all about her. But what I do know about her, I don't like. See what I mean? Okay. Now you understand this. You know, you might hear that somebody said something about you and you don't think that's true. Well, somebody might say something good about you and say, I don't think that's true either. But you know, folks, God knows, and that's where we need to leave it. Wisdom doesn't rely on other people to get its satisfaction in the heart. It relies on God. That's wisdom. It relies on God to satisfy the soul. Okay, that's good. Verses 23 through 25, I'm just got to move fast here now. In fact, there's no way we can finish this, but let me just leave you the applications in. Verses 23 through 25 recognize the limitations of intellectualism. Do we know it all? We just simply don't know it all. I simply cannot understand all that's going on in my life, but I can choose to trust God. That's something I can do. I understand that life has a certain mystery to it. It's called the sovereignty of God. I understand that wisdom is not manufactured by human beings. It's a gift from God. So Solomon said, I'm going to go out and find wisdom. No, you're not. You had to get it from God. It was a gift. Verses 26 through 29 reveals that legitimate or sinful pleasures in themselves can't ultimately satisfy my soul. So this was what Solomon was learning from strange women and also legitimate women that he was married to. 700 wives and 300 concubines, is that what it was? 1,000 women. And I think Proverbs 31 is the Shulamite woman, the first one he married, he loved the most. Isn't that something? I don't need 1,000 women to know I love my wife. Okay. Can we get a name in there, anybody? All right. Then chapter 8, verse 1. Biblical wisdom has entered my heart when I understand that I sin and need God's continued love, forgiveness, and righteousness. This is called applying the gospel to everyday life. The knowledge of the glory of God received in my heart will eventually shine in my face. It'll be about my presence. If I was the worst, then God would have given Christ to die for me first because of his patient mercy. Have you ever seen that before? Do you ever see that before, Pastor Tom? If I was the worst, then God would have died for me first. Look at it, 1 Timothy 1:15-17. That is just an awesome thought. 1 Timothy. You ever heard this before? If you were the only sinner on earth, Jesus would have died for you. And how do we know that? Because he had the lamb slaughtered for Adam and Eve and covered them with skins. That means an animal had to die. Picturing Christ, the Lamb of God. That's good stuff, you say, right? 1 Timothy, I'm getting there. Very slowly. Okay, 1 Timothy 1, starting in verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And let him finish the statement, by the way, okay? All the way to verse 17. This whole thing he's talking about, the whole statement. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am what? I am the worst. Got a little secret to you. I'm the worst sinner I know. I know I've sinned against the Lord a lot of times. I've repented a lot of times too. Howbeit, verse 16, I'm glad he didn't stop there, aren't you? Howbeit, for this cause I obtained what, folks? Mercy. That's wisdom. I didn't have to earn it and I couldn't. That in me, there's the word what? First. I was the worst, and the Lord put me first. If you humble yourself, you will be what? What's the word? Exalted. Who's going to exalt you? The Lord is. I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. What a patient God we have. Amen. When you got saved, did you think, wow, the Lord has been very patient with me? He did that for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, unchanging, invisible, the only what? Wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever, and all God's people say, amen. You might think that you are the worst. That's good. That's healthy. Don't forget, if you were the only one, the Lord would put you first. Wow. Let's all go to the west wing so the children can come in and practice, okay?